Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise God.
Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well. Welcome, welcome, welcome tonight. I just love the Lord and just love this time of year. You just don't really know what the weather's going to do we? So we're just blessed. I know God knows what we need. So we're going to get ready for service tonight. Again, good to see y'all tonight for those that are here with us live, those that are watching on the feed. So if you would, just stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this evening as we open up our service. Praise God. Is there any spoken prayer requests on my right side tonight? Yes, ma'am.
Y'all just remember my name. It's my acid reflux, but if y'all just remember my name.
Absolutely. We most definitely will. Brother Thomas? Okay, absolutely. Anyone else on my right side tonight? Okay. Anyone on the left side with a spoken prayer request tonight? Praise God. All righty. Don't want to miss anybody. Okay. You want up on the roster?
Remember the preacher and his wife are traveling.
Yes.
They'll be home tomorrow. And remember my family.
Your family? Absolutely. And I have, I just want to speak up for my dad. He had surgery this morning. And the surgeon, you know, you can't be there. So it's kind of tough to leave them just at the hospital by themselves. But the surgeon called afterwards and said it went well. So now they're watching for the next phases. But he's resting, and that's what's all important. God, you got him through the surgery, so we just want to thank him. Amen. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just show by raising of your hand. God sees and knows each and every one. Yes, in the family of Teresa Mobley, right? Absolutely. Keep them in our prayers. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, as we come to you tonight, dear Lord, may we just turn it all over to you. Dear Lord, may we allow your Holy Spirit, dear Lord, just to come on each and every one of us, dear Lord. Thank you again, dear Lord, for allowing us to gather in your house. Lord, we pray now for those that are sick, those that are shut in, those that aren't able to be with us tonight, dear Lord. Those in the nursing homes, those that have lost a loved one. There's so many situations, dear Lord, that only you can know each and every one. Dear Lord, you see the hands that were raised, dear Lord, and we thank you again, dear Lord, for you always being willing to touch and to answer our prayers. Dear Lord, now we pray for those that are suffering from this pandemic, from this sickness, the caretakers, those in the nursing homes, the assisted livings. Dear Lord, those are workers on the front line, dear Lord, the nurses, the doctors, and all that are involved. But dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory, and we thank you, dear Lord, for hearing our prayers. And dear Lord, we just love and praise you in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Praise God, praise God. While you're standing, turn to page 333, I'll Fly Away. I need y'all to help me a little. I'll just sing out. Amen. Some glad morning when this life is over, fly away,
fly away
to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Amen.
I'll fly away,
oh glory.
Fly away,
fly away
in the morning
when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Shadow of life has grown.
Fly away,
fly away, like a bird from prison bars has flown. I'll fly away.
In the
Praise God. You may be seated if you can. Just want to ask each and every one of you to keep all our ministries and prayers. They're slowly opening back up. They're slowly getting more involved. Same way with our church services, our Sunday school, and as the word gets out and people are feeling more comfortable coming in. And I thank y'all for keeping your distancing and those type things that we need to be well aware of as we go forward. But we know God is in control. I have no doubt about that in my mind. Don't forget our food closet. I said, if it's donation time, if you'd like to bring some dry goods or monetary gift to help them with their perishables and all the other ministries. I know the Overcomers Outreach and the other ones that are going forward. And we just love the Lord and just thank Him for all the ministries that He's allowed us to have and all the different directions that we'll go. We'll go ahead and take up our evening offering, and then we'll have a couple of special singers come up. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Thomas. If you'd ask the Lord just to bless our offering this evening.
Lord, thank you all for being here. Bless the Lord. Thank you all for the opportunity to be here in your house, Lord, to feel your spirit, Lord. Bless all those who are not able to be here, Lord. Bless all those who are out there, Lord, watching tonight, Lord. You can touch them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I know that there's someone who cares. Lord, we love you and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. So bless this offering now for the throne of our Lord, Lord. Bless those that have to give, especially those who don't. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Me, I can't understand.
Sister Misty, come on up, please. Praise God.
Thank you.
great God. Praise the Lord. Y'all worship as I sing. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind.
What a powerful, powerful phrase and a truthful thing. While He was on the cross, I was on His mind. You know, as we look around and we look at the situations that we're going through in life right now, and there's so many times that loneliness sets in, or like I know there are those in the assisted living nursing homes that can't be visited right now. You know, it was hard for us when we took Dad to the hospital and they said, you got to leave. And that's personal to me, but it makes it even closer. And I realize I've been praying for situations, but sometimes until it gets right there and it's you or a close friend or a situation, we've had a prayer request for a lady that lost her life, and until it hits that reel that you find out you know this person and you see what happens. And it's just like as we go through life and we're struggling and we're trying to find out exactly what we need to do or what's next, but to have that confidence that while Jesus was on the cross dying for us, that we were on His mind. Each and every one of you individually can say the word, I was on His mind. What a great thing to have. And to know that we're not alone, no matter what we're going through. Just praise the Lord. Well, I hope again, I just want to welcome everybody tonight. Really looking forward to the message. And I always am excited about an opportunity to come together. And I'm promising that we won't be real long. I just thank the Lord. But actually, it's His time. So we're going to let God lead. But I'm going to ask each and every one of you to get started tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 4. We're going to read a little bit of Scripture tonight, but we're just going to start off. And I know for y'all that heard the prayer request, Brother Eddie and Sister Penny have had an opportunity to get out of town. They're due back the latter part of this week. I think tomorrow they may be coming back. And we want to keep them in prayer. You want me to swap over? Thank you. Let y'all know when I focus on something, it y'all have to forgive me because I only see certain things. I don't depend on which eyes look in that direction. So just praise God. Y'all think that's the truth. But God's blessed me. All right, Matthew 4. We're going to go to verse number 23, and then we're going to read a little bit in chapter 5 also. So in Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases, torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And we're going to go down to chapter 5. And seeing the multitude, He went up into the mountains. And when He was set, His disciples came upon Him, or unto Him, excuse me. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank You for allowing us to gather in Your house. But most of all, dear Lord, we thank You for the freedom, dear Lord, the freedom You've given us to open Your Word and be able to read it, dear Lord, for You allowing us to come to You, dear Lord, straight to You, dear Lord, as we need. Dear Lord, we lift You up, we honor You, we praise Your holy name. Dear Lord, we thank You for this evening. For everyone that's in attendance tonight, dear Lord, I ask for You to bless each and every family represented. For those on the screen watching live, we'll be watching at a later time, dear Lord. And You know who each and every person is, dear Lord. May You just give them their wishes and the prayer requests that went forward there. Dear Lord, again, be with our young people downstairs and with our teen class. And dear Lord, we just love and praise You, and we give You all the honor. And everyone says, amen. Amen in the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Praise God. Like I said, I want to talk real quick just for a minute and kind of give you a little opening. As we talked here about Jesus, and if you read in Matthew, we're just in chapter 4. And then as we go into 5, you know, you got the Sermon on the Mount, or as it's described, and we got the Beatitudes. There's so much that happens in these first three chapters, it makes it sound like, or verses, it makes it sound like so much is going on. If you look in chapter 4 in the beginning, and it just says that Jesus was led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We know the story, but as we read it, there's a couple of words I want to say that Jesus used that I want to use in the message tonight. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights without food or water? And when the tempter came to Him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, and listen to these first three words, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not only is he talking to Satan and rebuking him, but he's also ministering to us as we have the opportunity to read Jesus' answer. And the devil again came at him, and taking him up to the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Even the devil was using wording, the word, and was putting it back at Jesus. But what did he say again? He said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again, the devil taketh him up into exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, everything, and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. But again, the powerful words of Jesus, get thee hence, Satan, because he used those same words. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. These are powerful words. And it says that the devil left after that. And it said the angels came and ministered to Jesus and refreshed him. And as he went forth in this ministry, and I look at this part of Matthew, and I read that because I want you to know who Jesus is. Not only is our Lord and Savior, but he is the Son of God, and he knows the importance of his written word. And he knows how much it means to you and I. And as he goes forth and he goes into it, and then we're going to shift a little bit further into this chapter as he talks about healing and ministering to the multitudes. As he gathered them and he saw the following, and he went up on the mountain, and it said he set, and then he started to minister. And we go into the very beginning of 5, and you have the Beatitudes, or blessed ye. It just says, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, or those that mourn, or they which are hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's so many of them. And I'm not going to be able to hit on every one of them tonight, but I want to use this part of the message. And I talked about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I wanted you to know what he's gone through and going through at this time, knowing where he's ultimately going to end up. And I know that's the resurrected Savior, our Lord. And he's at the right hand side of the throne of grace right now with God. And he's interceding for you and I. But this whole time, as he's a teacher, they call him rabbi in places, they call him teacher in other interpretations, and we look at it, and I just want to let you know, as we seek through these times, as I mentioned when we first started, and I'm not, you know, woe in me on anything, but I know for a fact I'm on a journey, and I know God has intentions for me, and I've been asking him to guide me. Maybe I get a little too eager, and I try to jump around a little bit, or I try to want the answer now, but I know God has an answer for what I'm seeking. And I know I've talked to people here that we're going through different stages in our life. We're going through times where we need the God just to strengthen and guide us. Maybe we don't have an answer for tomorrow, but there's so much scripture here. And just in this teaching in Matthew, in this message, this Sermon on the Mount that's known in other chapters and in so many places. So we're going to go somewhere first, but I just want to write this down. And I wrote some things down and just said that to me about that journey. And as Jesus talks here, and there's so much to learn, God placed something on my heart this last week if I was praying and I was in another area of the Bible completely. And I know y'all have heard us say this before, ministers or people that's bringing a lesson or whatever. But there's something he just wouldn't let go in my heart. And I feel like it's needed for tonight. So if you have a title for our message tonight, it's a roadmap to victory. And as we hear Jesus teaching, we know what he's gone through. We know what he told, that he believes everything he's telling us and who he is, the strength that he is, that this word is his word. And we know that he humbly came as a man in flesh to live on this earth for us and to sacrifice himself for us. But even in the mighty knowledge that he has, he uses the same thing in his ministry that he instructs us to use in our life. And when we fall back on the Word, and we carry this Word with us, or we have it placed in our heart with His Holy Spirit, God has opened these doors, and Jesus is allowed to teach us what we need to use. So I want to talk about a roadmap for a minute.
And this is not out of the Bible, but this is out of Smurfology. I want you to know that I'm kind of dating myself. I'm just going to ask a question. Have you ever gone, you know where you are now, but you want to go on a trip, and you want to go somewhere special. You know where that is. And just say, I'm going to say Pigeon Forge or Townsend or Cades Cove. That's where we like to go. And you don't know how to get there. So what do? You get a map. Well, I'm dating myself a little bit. You remember the paper maps? When you go to unfold them, and you know, you end up looking like this. Those maps open up, and you got to find your cities. It might not even be where you want, but that map has everything that you need to get from point A to point B. It has a schematic at the bottom. It tells you where north, south, east, and west is. It gives you a graph. If you look at it, it'll tell you if you go an inch and you put an inch up there on the map, that might be 80 miles or 50 miles. For those of you that hadn't seen a map, let me know. Because I know Miss Elaine, one of the requirements for her to drive with her dad was that he wanted her to learn a map. Same thing as changing a tire. And she said she'd have that map all spread out in the front seat. And well, I remember when I was young with my dad, I liked riding the front seat with him unless I was tired. Then he wouldn't let me sleep if I was up front. So I'd get in the back and take a nap. But I wanted to ride with him, but he started throwing me the map. He says, tell me where we're going. And I know all the time he knew. But he would just do that. And that map, and I would look at it. But you know, one thing about that paper map, and then they came up with other techniques. You can Google it, and now they have GPSs or TomToms. And now there's even things you can put on your phone. Link, put it on mine when I was selling. Tells me if there's a wreck coming up or if there's a policeman. But if I'm driving, I don't know how you're supposed to read that. But anyway, she told me I could make it talk, so I had it in my earpiece. But this map that I use, if I'm going somewhere, was made by man. This map was designed by somebody new who put it on a computer, or it's a little screen you can suction cup to your windshield and you can watch it. But you know what it doesn't know? It doesn't know me. We've got a GPS that we use when we go up to see the kids and when they were up there towards the Outer Banks. And it'd tell me when we'd start off, it was 700-something miles to Stephen's house. And then it would turn around and say it's going to take you 10 and a half hours or so, for some reason. I never could match that time. Because for some reason, it took me closer to 12. Because it didn't know me. Every couple of hours, I'm going to stop. Every couple of times, you got to get some more drink. We carry our tea and water in the trunk with ice in our little tumblers. You got to fill them up. You got to get rid of it at the other times. And all these type of things while you travel. It doesn't, but in this walk of life, this roadmap that's designed, it doesn't know what you're going through. It doesn't know if there's a storm. It doesn't know you could be going through a horrible storm and you go up on a road and the tree's down. So you got to figure out, where do I go now? And also on a map, you could pick which course do you want to take. You want to stay on the expressway or get on the roads or whatever. But it doesn't know me. I can use this gift from A to B. And I was just thinking about that with the Lord. I said, Lord, where do you want, I'm going to be honest with you. I tell y'all everything. I've asked God, what do you want me to do? I feel like there's something there. And I'm seeking it. And I'm praying for it. I know He's going to answer. But I started thinking about this roadmap. And I started thinking about things. But He started showing me things in His Word. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. And I hope somehow, whether you use it, whether you need it now, or it's just a seed being planted, that His Word is so powerful, no matter what situation you're going through, there's an answer in His Word. Amen. But that map that I'm on, and also driving a truck, for those of you who don't know, I used to drive a truck, and I'm glad I don't anymore. But you get on, you're following directions, and you get on a road that says, no 18-wheelers, or nothing over 6 wheels. Or you get up to a bridge, especially over in Alabama, we'd go to the quarries over there, and you get up them little bitty bridges, and then all of a sudden you're stuck because you can't go over it because of the weight limit. And I didn't want to be the one that broke the bridge. So you have to turn around and figure out a way to get back. But I knew I had to get through with this route, and you'd worked it out. But that paper map didn't know me, or the GPS now they have and all these type things. We get trucks stuck on the railroad tracks around here all the time because GPS is sending them that way. They're just looking. I've got a driver. I ask him, tell this guy how to get there. He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean? You go there all the time. He said, no, I use my machine. It just tells me when to turn. We get into that state of mind. But as I was studying and I started reading, and I talked about this, you don't know about detours or truck restrictions or speed traps, but the true direction of the wholesome and happy life that I need. Jesus went through everything when He was tempted after fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, all the things that He did. He gave me an answer. He said, for it is written. That is His Word. The roadmap to victory that I'm referring to tonight, you can just use a few verses here, and we can get that way. I'm going to ask y'all if you would, flip over to Matthew 6, 24. Keep your Bible handy. Y'all read with me, or you know, just know where we're at, because it just helps me. The first thing the Lord's telling me in this, first he said it is written. And that written word is when I ask those questions. But then he turns around in Matthew 24. He gives me a little guidance here. He says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. As we read this part of Matthew, it's talking about your earthly pleasures or your heavenly pleasures, things that you do, things that we do. It talks about so many different things. It says right before that, it just says where your treasure is, there will be your heart be also. So then he says that, but then he turns around and says, Jim, you can't serve two masters. How are you going to follow me if you're following the world? How are you going to follow me if you're looking at it? If I'm looking at the map that he wants me to go and it has all these other routes. But in his word, it gives me direct, true words. This is written in red, which means it's the word of Jesus Christ. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. And it says you cannot serve God or mammon. If you look at that real close and you think about it in your life, we're being pulled in this worldly flesh by so many different things. There's the pleasures that are out there. There's the struggles. We're being told in one hand, lock it down. Don't, you know, there's a disease out there that you can't see. There's all this stuff going on. The other one says, well, you got to get out and get work because you need money. The other one says, well, you know, all these other things that are going, you don't know who to look at. There's who to go. It's kind of like me looking at that roadmap. It gives me so many options. I have to make a decision how fast I want to get there. Do I want to ride on the expressway? Those type things. But in a spiritual way, Jesus is telling us in so many places here, he says, do not worry. And this is what God's showing me. And I want to tell you, this is not even where we started. This is just where we're getting to. And this may be a continuation. But it says, even, and I'm just going to flip over. They didn't have it on the screen, and they don't need to put it up there. But it just says, right before we leave here, it just says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's 33. And then he also tells me, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And when it talked about that, I had to look that up. It says, for me not to worry, follow him, put my faith in him, and let God lead me through each and every day. And it says, seek ye first his kingdom. That's the best. If that map, I said, okay, I want to go to heaven. That's my ultimate goal. Is when God calls me home, I want him to say, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. I want to go to heaven. And I know that's the plans that I have. That's my desire. That's the master I want to follow is God. And I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, which he is. And I thank him for that. So this part that we're at, if we first look at this in Matthew, and I know I added that little extra on the end, because it means so much to me as I was reading this. And it's like the word just kept opening up. Have you ever done a reference? You're reading something. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to move around. I know we're not supposed to. And you're reading something and you get so excited and Miss Elaine says, time to eat. I said, hold on a minute. And then you just got to flip to the other or flip to the other. Or you're in the middle of something and you don't want to stop. God's word and this roadmap that he's given me of life is that way. It just grabs hold of you. Now there are times, I'm going to be honest with you, in my reading plan, there are times I go, oh, okay. But then there's other times I go, yeah, okay. But then that first one, when I go back to it the next time, who knows? That could be exactly what I needed for that moment. All right? I'm going to ask you to flip again. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. And I know y'all know all this. First of all, he's telling me that it is written, and he's giving me that. Same thing he said to Satan. But as we look at this, and we look at Matthew 6, like I just said, you can't serve two masters. Then what's he telling me? The same thing with his two masters, or the world. And then we go to 13 and 14 of 7. It says, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. But what does it say? That leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereof. Think about it. There at, actually, it says. So that's the wrong way. But then he says in 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Does it mean it's a tougher path? Does it mean it's a... when it says few that find it, I believe there's so many, and I'm just going to use my words. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm not... this is my word. When I looked at that map where I told you, what if I'm following a lead, they didn't really know me, and they're leading me astray? What does it say? And they don't have this up there either, but in 15, there's something that we have to add to this. Lord, just check me. In 15, right below that, it says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but unwardly, they are ravaging wolves. His word is warning us about that right now. Beware of that journey you're on, the path you're taking. As I said, the roadmap that's made by man, those things that are out there right now that we know as adults, and the majority, yes, everybody in here is adults right now, and I'll say this to you. There are things when we grew up and there are things when we're older. And I can speak for both of them. They tickle your fancy. They tease you. You know, we always, Brother Eddie and I kid about it. There's those sweet fragrances of things we're not supposed to eat when we're baking stuff. But then you got these other worldly temptations that come about to take us astray. The prodigal son thought if he got his money, everything that he had, his inheritance, that he could go off and just live the high life. Well, he did. But not only did he run out of funds, he ran out of friends. And he ended up in a hog waller. And he thought at that time, what am I going to do? It took no telling how long he was down before he realized, I got to get out of here. Even he said, my father's help is eating better than I am. But he took off on a trail that Jesus had already warned us about. And he had said which path to go down, that narrow path to victory. And I read this, and Jesus is talking so straight, so honestly to us in his ministry, that if we just listen to what he tells us to do, he'll give us the warnings. He just said here, because there are those that lead us to destruction. I don't want to go down that trail. If you're driving down the highway, and no matter what reason, it could be a pretty day, it could be one of those rainy, foggy nights that we get all the time. I love fog lights on my Jeep. When you see that bad curve, or if there's a sign all of a sudden stuck up says bridge out, do you keep going? You know, are you that, you know? And, but isn't that what Jesus is telling us? Follow the path. I'll guide you. Follow me. And that's exactly what we have to do. And I got you one more turn. I'm going to ask you to turn over to Romans 8. And most of y'all know this one. I can get there faster. I got mine marked. And I'm just going to read a few scriptures in here. Romans 8. I gave them 13 through 15, I think. No, I didn't. I gave them 4, 5, and 6. Good. And this is where I started. This is where the Lord led me in the very beginning. And then I started referencing. Romans 8, verse 4, 5, and 6. Listen to this one. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's that same journey. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but that they are that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to the carnally minded is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and peace. Gosh, that's powerful. That's where God led me first. Matter of fact, there was a saying that came out just recently. It was on Facebook. Miss Elaine shared it with me. I think it said, fear and faith don't live together, or something like that. But if you think about this, as we look at this, that if we're after the flesh or after the Spirit. I talked about the prodigal son. That's a story that means a lot in my heart. I remember when it was taught. But the faith, to live after the Spirit no matter what the circumstances. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell your body. Don't sell your mind. Don't sell off just to put you something that you're not going to be able to take it with you when you go. These carnally minded situations that we all tend to, I'm sure I can speak for a good percentage of the people that's been tempted with something. You know, it could be so many things that wouldn't even be important now. There are things, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a spring chicken anymore. But there are things during my life that I thought I couldn't live without. I mean that. There are things I could not, I thought there's no way that I could live without it. And about three vehicles later, after I kept rolling things over and spending money and doing all these kind of things, we were so deep into debt, I'm wondering, how am I going to get out of this? You know, I go out and you buy a vehicle, and then at that time you ask God to help you pay the bills. But you know, that's what's carnally minded. You know, you got wisdom that we're taught from our parents, from our relatives, or maybe from life circumstances, they say. But when Jesus plainly, and this was the writings of Paul here in Romans, but when he says this, that for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How plain can you put it? As Paul wrote this, and we came up to this, and even though he was ministering in Romans, you know, for this truth, and if we go back to what we just read in Jesus' words, it's the same thing he's saying. Follow that narrow, straight path. That roadmap to victory is through Jesus Christ. And when he tells me, Jim, you don't need to do that. The best thought about being saved and actually being in tune with your relationship with God, and I'll be honest with you, that journey that I've been on has been one of these. Because I end up getting myself in a waller every once in a while. And thank God that he picks me up. Gives me, you know, he asks, he forgives me for my sins when I ask for forgiveness. And he directs me. But if you think about it, and no matter where we're at in our life, praying for our children, the examples that we set. You know, I want to teach my kids to do good stuff. I'm not that kind of handyman, so my poor boys had to learn on their own how to fix cars and do that kind of stuff. I could do a little bit in the old motors, but these new ones, I don't even know what I'm looking at when I open the hood. But this is so strong here that the righteousness of the law may be fulfilled in us who walk after the flesh, who not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that righteousness that we seek. And I just want to talk about this roadmap because it's told me so many things. As Jesus preached, and we left it earlier, but if you look back at the Sermon on the Mount, and I just wrote down a few things. He talked about things that reflects in me, and I think about bumps in the road or when the road tells you not to go this way or a wrong path. But Jesus was teaching in his sermon, he talked about false prophets, personal relationships, giving to the poor, fasting, judging others, building foundations, prayer. There's so much that Jesus taught on in just those few verses. You think about the magic and the wonder of the Word of God and how powerful it is, the way this Word was put together with so many writers, so many things that relate to today. You think about when it was wrote. We're studying the Old Testament in our Sunday school class, and we're going through so many things. But as we relate to today, there's so many things that makes that understanding. You know about it, and then you understand what happens here. And in the dispensation of Christ, and when that veil was rent from top to bottom, and then we had that direct path to God Himself, that roadmap became more personal to me. I can go right in here and read something. And then as I look at it, and if we'll flip over, well, that's my same page. If we'll look at Romans 8, 13 and 15, it says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then in 15, this is so powerful. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That is so powerful. And as I spoke earlier, in these notes and all the thoughts that I have, I just think of the state that we're in today and so many people. State of confusion, state of anxiety, state of fear, state of the unknown, the state of that struggle that we go through. Through the precious blood that Jesus Christ shed, no matter where we are, if the Lord still gives us another breath, we can ask for forgiveness. and we could accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can ask Him to come into our life, and He will renew us and strengthen us. And when we are weak, He is strong. When we are sick, He will heal us. When we're, you know, He's healed the blind. He's healed the lame. He healed the lepers. There were so many things that Jesus has done through His roadmap that He's given us. And wherever we fit in that situation, and I believe in my heart that I'm still on a journey. I am not there yet. I've got so much to learn, so much to do. That roadmap that I want to be on, I now understand little things as I was reading this. And I brought up the map because Elaine and I snicker about it. Stephen, and he said, Dad, you can get here in so many hours, like I said. It takes me another. But you know, I don't have to get there as fast as I used to. I probably make some people upset, but I don't have to drive wide open to get somewhere because it'll be there when I get there. And that's just the way my journey is. But I want to be steady. I want to be true with the Lord. I want to be directed by Him, and I thank y'all for your prayers. I look out here and I see so many prayer warriors. There's so many people of y'all that stand strong on His Word. And because of you and your testimonies that uplift us, people like me going through something. Like I said, this weekend I had to rely on faith. Till we got that call from the doctor this morning that they did the surgery on, and I said, y'all know my dad's 92. And there was a lot of other issues with infections and all this kind of stuff. There was a lot of iffies. Found out something that I didn't know, that even the doctors using that dementia words and stuff like that, that they've not really spoke to us. We knew it, but you know, the nights are worse for him and all that kind of stuff, but they really had to keep an eye on him. But God's brought him through. I've had to rely on my faith. Not just for it, for my kids. You know, Jessica and the kids are up there on the Outer Banks now with that storm coming through, and they're having fun, and we're worried to death about them. So it's just the way life is. But I got faith in my Lord. I know when we call on prayer, we pray. And I know a God that answers us in the name of Jesus as we go to it. I know this roadmap to victory, there's so much there that I wrote down. But if we look at that life, and I want to reflect more in Romans, what do we follow? Are we following that carnal side, the fleshly side, as it says? Are we following the Spirit? What's filled us up? The Spirit of God is within us. I love it. I want Him to be there. I don't want to ever just say, I'm not following that. I want to be checked. I don't know about you, but I want the Lord to check me. When He says, Jim, there's a road sign down there that says, you don't need to be that close to that edge. Get back. There's a hole down here. Be careful. There's a bad curve. Turn on your lights. Just like when you're riding in the mountains and they say, you know, you're going through some of those big tunnels and they say, turn on your lights. You know, I used to think it didn't really matter. But I don't know if it's as much for me as letting me know somebody else know that there's a car in there with them. I got my lights on. Well, these new ones do it on their own, but I don't. My vehicles don't. But God is so strong. And I just want y'all to know, I know it's not a long message and I don't want to hold y'all up long. It's a beautiful night. But I want us to be in much prayer for each other. I want us to be in that direction for our church. I want us to follow the Lord. I want to open these doors and welcome up in anyone, no matter what. We don't want to judge anybody. We just want to bring them in and let them hear the word of the Lord. We need to let them know how much Jesus loves them. We might not be able to put them in a big mansion somewhere or fix all their problems, but we can show them a God that can. And that's what we have to do. We're a welcoming church. When Elaine and I first walked in here, the first thing we felt was love. We were greeted with people acting like they had known us forever. And then the ones that met us the next time, they were even more, you know, oh, I didn't get a chance last time, but they were almost apologizing because they didn't speak to us. I want this church, as it always is, to open these doors. And if these broadcasts go forth and can touch one person, guys, all y'all's work you're doing, it's going to be worth it. Just one soul. If they just hear the name of Jesus, maybe just repeat it so many times, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Maybe they're going to say, well, who is this Jesus? And if they read back what He went through for us, and back in there in the temptations and all the things He went through, 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, then He was tempted. They didn't do it when He was strong. See, the devil come at us the same way. I believe, and if he goes after Jesus, what in the world would he, you know, as I say, what would he do to me? I've got to stay strong. I've got to keep the Spirit, not the flesh. I've got to know the path I need to be on. I've got to know that roadmap to victory. If the Lord calls me home tonight or right now, I want to be ready to go. I just love Jesus. I love God. I love y'all. I want y'all to know. This is encouraging to me. I hope it is to you, because I'm going to tell you, you're not alone. No matter. And I'll be honest with you. I've had to turn off the news. Because I like my TV and I don't want to have to put my foot in it. I'd hate to say it that way. But it's just discouraging. And Lane said, Jim, this is making you mad. Turn the channel. But I love God. And He knows the roadmap that I need to be on. There are those right now that want to, you know, what is it? It's a spiritual battle. We talk about it all the time. What does He want to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. But we're going to stand strong in the name of the Lord. I know I'm not going to hold y'all up anymore tonight. I could keep talking, but I got away from Scripture, and I apologize. But it says, in my search for the answers, the Lord guided me in this direction, that He has a plan for me all along. I've taken the wrong roads. I've made the wrong turns. And I have to admit this, woe is me. I actually have said this. I know a better way, or even an easier path. But I thank the Lord for always guiding me back to where I need to be. When I wrote that this morning, early, we knew Dad was in the surgery, and I was just thinking about, am I who I, you know, I just question myself sometimes. I know my salvation, but I also know my God. And I thank Him for this, for His Word. No better way to pay it. Just His Word. Sharper than any two-edged sword, right? Just want to praise God. I love y'all. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I know there's a lot of needs. We had a lot of prayer requests, but I'll do the prayer. And if anybody needs prayer, y'all just come on up. We'll pray with you this evening. Let's keep in mind all those prayer requests, not just here, but the ones that we get the flashes on. And I know we have people in other states that rely on us to pray for them. Not that we're any better than anybody else. But it's just an honor that we have the reputation as a praying church. And I love each and every one of you. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed. But if anybody needs prayer, please come up. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank You again. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You for allowing us to gather in Your name, dear Lord. And thank You for ministering to me. And as these words go forth, as Your words go forth, dear Lord, I just pray that they just pierce somebody's heart. And Lord, if there's anyone that needs salvation right now, or feels alone, or feels empty, or has a desire or need that they don't know what direction they're going in, dear Lord, I just ask You now, dear Lord, let Your Word be fed to them, dear Lord. Let them know that without any doubt, they could turn their life away in Your name, Jesus. They could ask for forgiveness. Lord, they can ask You to come into their heart. And dear Lord, they can ask You to strengthen them and guide them. And, dear Lord, if they don't have the Word, dear Lord, maybe they let us know if it's somebody that's watching this live. We'll get them a Bible. We'll pray with them. And, Lord, if there's anybody here in the sanctuary tonight that needs Your prayer, dear Lord, we ask You now, dear Lord, just to touch each and every one. Thank You, dear Lord, for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Thank You for this Word, for this opportunity You've given us to gather. And, dear Lord, we give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. 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 Thank you all.